Let's see what we got here. Oh, let's have a very thorough, comprehensive talk about Fyre Festival. Martin, the festival's so fucked up they had to make two documentaries about it, man, to document all that stupidity and foolishness that went on with it, and a legal business that also happened to follow. And y'all heard about the Fyre Festival. That is, at the time, it was supposed to be, Martin, the festival to end all festivals. Coachella was just packing it up, ready to go. Can't top that shit. Let's just go home. Yeah, this was the one where the big draw to this wasn't even the music. I mean, music was going to be there. They were talking about how a major laser was going to be there. Good music, Kanye's company, or his label. So they just figured Kanye was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And the biggest headliner, Blink 182. You know, people shouting out thousands of dollars to go see old Blinky 182. And
well, to hang out with models.
But that was it. It was not the music that they were selling. They were selling a lifestyle.
Instagram life.
An Instagram luxury life. They were pretty much selling you an image of a lifestyle that you could rub into all your poor friends' faces. And even though half of them couldn't even afford it themselves. But hey, you know what? Hey, man, an image is everything. Putting out there the right image is priceless, and that's what people are paying for. They wanted to show themselves hanging out with models. They wanted to show themselves out there in glamorous locations. And, of course, there was the music. But the money that you put out there just wasn't to look good. You were going to get gourmet food from Michelin chefs out there. You're going to get tents, but not just tents. Tents that were luxury accommodations themselves.
Luxury glamping and villas you could stay in if you wanted to up the price. And yacht rides. Maybe even a pirate ship.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, but, you know, all the most beautiful pirates, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
No, all the beautiful white people you could ever want to see.
Oh, yes.
For 2 weeks.
Oh, yes, Mark. Just pure. And now imagine a lot of people's delight when they woke up the next day and went online and saw that while they were eating that shitty cheese sandwich, those people out there who shelled out thousands to be at this place were eating shitty cheese sandwiches in them. Some people said it. So out of all this, some people say that one slice of cheese right there ruined the whole thing.
Yeah, I love that. Where it's like, all right, this is going down in flames, but people don't really know until the picture of the cheese sandwich went out.
Yeah.
And that's all of it.
Boy, people were happy to see that their shitty cheese sandwich was better than that asshole that shelled out thousands for that one over there.
There was never so much Schadenfreude at one time that nobody felt bad about.
It was funny too. People are actually, some people who are involved, they don't even want to blame the guy, Billy McFarlane. They don't even want to blame him. They said, man, that fucking cheese. If that cheese had just shut up, everything would have been fine.
But like the cheese sandwiches are going, he's a fraud.
And, you know, somebody was going to do a documentary about this at some point. And that was, you know, that was just a given. But we didn't know there were going to be so many. I mean, like Vice has a documentary that's out there. But the biggest ones that were being talked about, well, you had Netflix saying, oh, yeah. They were marketing for months, man. But somehow, Hulu beat them to the punch.
Scooped.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was funny because I'm sure that both of them were kind of, maybe they had this in development separately.
Had to be.
Yeah, it had to be. Had to be. But it didn't stop Hulu from fucking with Netflix. They just, Hulu just sat back and somebody said, hey, marketing department, don't spend no money. Why do we have to spend money when Netflix is doing that for us right now? Because Netflix, they marketed this for months. And then about 48 hours before their documentary was supposed to come out, Hulu just stepped up in front of them. It was almost like,
I got one.
Yo, yeah. It was almost like Netflix was in line at the airport for hours and finally got to the counter. They're like, next, Hulu. Yeah, move, bitch. Hey.
He's a board pass.
Yes, I got my documentary right here. I'm ready to go. You if you work at Netflix, you ain't got no friends over at Hulu no more. If you did before, you married to somebody from Hulu, you better get divorced.
Maybe somebody will do a documentary on that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you know what? I wish that Netflix and Hulu could have just somehow worked their differences out and got along, because both of these are roughly around 1 hour and 40 minutes mm-hmm. on average, and between the both of them, they have a good 2 hour movie.
They do, and most documentaries I think peter out at an hour.
Yeah,
but at least I mean I watched all the Hulu one and half of the Netflix one, and I can say with the Hulu one, I was expecting that usual, all right, hit that hour mark, and then I'm like, all right, y'all just repeating yourselves, it's boring. I was riveted.
Yeah, man. You know,
could tear myself away from it.
And that, you know, and it's funny because I have to say that I was really drawn to both of them too. And that's a compliment, considering that there's major overlap yeah. between both of
yeah.
them.
Lots. A lot of same footage in both.
It's a lot of the same footage in both of them. They even interview with some of the same people mm-hmm. in both of these, both the people who attended and the people who are on the business side of it and the people who are kind of on the outside just looking in, just laughing. Mm-hmm. And that brings the question with a lot of people. You know, we live in a society where people just, they just can't do both. Everybody got to pick a team. Which one are you, Team Netflix or Team Hulu?
I know.
I'm like, damn, can I do both? So people are asking, all right, well, shit, I can't watch both. You know, I'll be betraying one or the other. No, you can, because people are saying, which one is better? Well, I mean, hey, that's a fair question. That's all up in the air. Can one possibly be better than the other one? Is there one you should watch before the other? I'll tell you what. Let's start out with Netflix. Let's watch the Netflix trailer, because if you ask me, and this is just my opinion, I have a good reason for doing it this way. Mm-hmm. I personally think that you should start with the Netflix documentary first. And that one's about not that much longer, about 10 minutes longer than the one on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and look at the trailer, and I will explain to you why you should start with this one. I don't know if Martin will agree with me or not. Maybe I can convince him, or maybe he can convince me otherwise.
All right, I just need to hear your reason.
Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for the Netflix documentary on Fire, and it's called, what is it called? Fire, the most fucked up festival in the world or something. I forgot. It has some title in there.
The greatest festival that never happened. There
you go. The greatest festival that never happened. Let's take a look at this, and we'll be back with our review of that one before moving on to the Hulu documentary.
All these models, like, in the Bahamas.
The most insane festival the world has ever seen.
Island getaway turned disaster.
It became very barbaric.
Right now, you are the fucking laughing stock of everything.
Just wait until you see what you're getting yourselves into.
American rapper Ja Rule is in the Bahamas with his business partner.
Billy McFarlane
is an amazing entrepreneur.
He can convince anyone of pretty much anything.
They just bought an island.
Pablo Escobar's island. Oh my God.
Ding! We're gonna throw a festival, yeah.
Within 48 hours,
they sold out. These guys are either completely full of shit or they're the smartest guys in the room. We were working around the clock, no sleep.
Billy's like, bring more workers, we need more workers.
Every single day it got more tense.
He just would not take no for an answer, and he just kept pulling money in somehow.
Desperate people do desperate things.
He was lying to investors and making it seem like we were making a ton of money when we weren't.
I mean, that's fraud.
We need to get the messaging out now that this is not a luxury music festival.
Oh my God.
There's mattresses all over the place getting soaked.
The save yourself mode kicked in.
Right, it's a free for all.
It became this looting mentality.
There's an angry mob, they're pissed off and they want their money.
Powerful models built this festival. And then one picture of cheese on toast ripped down the festival.
They just couldn't physically fit that many people on the island.
The event's co-founder is facing up to 20 years in prison.
If you had thousands of dollars to go on a trip to see Blink 182, that's on you. That is Darwinism at its finest.
The biggest event in a decade, I promise you.
I'll be there.
Yeah. This is fascinating, man. It, you know, it just goes to show you, if you a douchey white dude, you can get money from anybody. I'm not talking about a nice white dude. You have to like go in and look like a complete asshole.
Yeah.
And people would just throw you money, man.
Well, because the perception is that assholes get things done.
Yeah.
And they win. And oftentimes they do to a point. It's all very short term.
But
in the long run, the shit backfires on them.
But no, I'm talking about some dude talking about, give me money, bro.
Yeah.
And like, this guy's got it. You know? Yeah. You know, no, because this.
I mean, look at him. He's got a 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. He must know what he's talking about.
Look, he's got a full hawk. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, this guy, he's wearing a collar. You know, this dude had nothing. Nothing. It's a case of, if somebody had just simply made a phone call and then followed it up by saying no, this could have been stopped.
Well, there's so many places where it could have been stopped, but it comes back to him being just a natural con man who knows how to tell people, I'm offering you that thing you want. And when people are offered a thing they want, they kind of let reason go by because they want that thing.
Oh,
It's the honeypot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that, and that's what this dude was. He was just selling dreams to everybody. Yeah, he might as well be selling.
Wouldn't it be awesome if this could happen? Yeah, it would be. So invest and we can make it happen. Okay.
Yeah, he might as well be selling crack rocks to people or something. I mean, this is
magic crack rocks.
Yeah.
What if I sold you a crack that you couldn't get addicted to?
You know what
to?
It would have been? It would have been pipes with no crack in it. This is awesome.
Man, I'm way addicted to this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man.
I thought
it was going to work out.
This one is, this one I have to say, out of both of them, this is the one that lets history speak for itself the most. This is the one that uses interviews, news clips, and footage to build more of a timeline. And give you, let all of the visuals and the testimony speak for itself for things that led up to the festival before it even happened. Because this is what gets me with this. This is why I say it. If you're just some scumbag looking, you know, frat boy who's going in with a little bit of confidence, you can get anything you want. At least that's what the way they make it feel or look like. Because this guy, he had scams going on before he even got to this point.
Yes.
And
even after that.
And it's not like they were under the radar. The dude was in all of the places, and they show you this in the documentary. They really do let this kind of business speak for itself, or the false businesses that he had. The dude was everywhere. He was in places like Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg talking about a credit card. Again, selling a lifestyle, selling the perks of not even having the money to live this lifestyle, but just given the appearance of being able to do it.
What is Magnesis? It's a card, but it's more than that.
It's a card, it's more than that, but let's take it back to where it all started.
Okay.
So I'm a technology entrepreneur, but I've always really been interested in payment tools and credit cards. And I was at dinner with 10 or 15 other entrepreneurs, and we all pull out our random debt.
He just has a face that you just want to bash in. This dude, does he not? I mean, the moment you saw this dude, you would want to fucking kill him. You know, big hoss looking ass. You know, this guy, you know, this. And it's almost like watching the origins of a supervillain. Who has a supervillain face, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because what he was doing, you see how this guy was, he wanted to live that lifestyle himself. He wanted to take private jets. He wanted to drive in Lamborghinis and you know, fancy cars that were chauffeured around town. And you get the feeling that this guy was selling that lifestyle because not only did he want to be in it, but he wanted to be the center of it for people. He wanted to be the hero of people who were living this. See, that's what I'm talking about. There are certain levels of shadiness that they get into with this particular documentary by going so far into the business. Fire was not even when it got to the Fire Festival, because Magnesis was supposed, it was a credit card that was going to give you
perks.
It was going to give you perks. Where, let's say you go, it would like be like having a black card that piggybacked off your little broke ass card that you got, off your little Visa card, and you know these black cards where you can get all kind of big perks with those, like penthouses. You can go into shows, exclusive shows, and hard to get in clubs around town. That card was going to afford you that, and that's what he was selling, and it didn't take long for people to start saying, yeah, this is bullshit, man. I'm not getting my perks. I've called to get into places. Mm-hmm. They're turning me, they're turning me around. I can't get into this penthouse that I want to. The cars aren't coming. Shows are not, they're sold out and told me there's no VIP for me.
He was delivering sometimes, but it'd be like, oh, he goes on StubHub and pays way too much for the tickets that he promised. He was just running a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. But those were only a handful of people. That did not last long, because he was talking about we had, like, what was it, like 10,000 subscribers or something?
Yeah.
And majority of those quickly could not get what they were promised. And that was just, and you're right, it's like a Ponzi scheme. They showed how everything that he was doing was to, like, feed something else.
Right.
Another scheme that he had, because Fyre, before Fyre Festival happened, Fyre Festival was supposed to be something that was just going to feed the app. And the app was supposed to be... it was supposed to be Tinder for celebrities.
Right.
You know, if you want to, like...
For booking celebrities.
Like, if you are rich and you want to have Rick Ross come over and play your kid's bar mitzvah, then, you know, that's... You would swipe left or right on that. And Rick Ross would come over to your house and play your song or something. By the way, he never leaves either. He's been in my house. Dude took the biggest shit in my house. Swipe on him.
No, hey man, I made a grocery list for you.
He was just feeding one thing after another. Either he had bigger ideas, or something was failing, and he had to like promise bigger things.
Yeah, I got to do a new scam to pay off my last scam.
Yeah, it's
Ponzi scheme.
There you go. Yeah, man. And the documentary does a great job on showing how a generation that is raised on just a shallow culture, a shallow me-centric culture, were the ones who were buying into this with no questions. You know, trying to, you know, it was people who bought into that's how they bought into the biggest scam of their generation, by trying to live like Instagrammers. And influencers,
yeah,
as they call it.
I mean, to get philosophical on it, the problem at the heart is that the bar has been so lowered on what makes somebody a celebrity, mm-hmm. that people feel more like I could be that person if I just spend a little bit extra money.
Yeah.
If I just get this extra plastic surgery, if I do my makeup this way,
yeah,
I could be them. Because, yeah, this person they're worshiping doesn't really have a talent or do anything. They've just put them up there.
Yeah.
But they in the process surrender their power to them.
Yeah, and see, they lay it out there. They do say that, all right, you know, you're a bunch of dumbasses who were raised on a culture where you're trying to be something to impress people that, you know, for likes and, you know, the most shallow things, mm-hmm. likes, clicks, views. But they don't go too harsh with that, because they say, yeah, you know, you are implicit in this. But they do let you know that you're dealing with a guy who really is just a master salesman.
Yeah.
You know, he has no product to give you, but he's a master salesman. And, you know, And that's what I liked about this. When they leave it up to you to decide who is implicit in this and who isn't, who's accountable, they don't really say anything themselves, as the best documentaries as the best documentaries should do. You know, they try to leave it up to you who is actually naive, who were the ones who were really trying to do a good thing and just wanted the power of Billy McFarlane, who were the ones who were just kind of coattail riders who were just trying to live a life like he was and were promised that more. And really does make a good case for who was manipulated. Like people can be manipulated by this guy in the craziest way. The best story out of both these documentaries, hands down, goes to Netflix. Out of both of these, they were able to come across the most what the fuck story and testimony out of both of them. You know, people are talking about these, but people cannot stop putting these memes out and discussing Andy King. Andy King, he was Billy McFarlane's mentor and a businessman on his own. And he was considered to be one of the big producers of Fyre Festival. Mm-hmm. And so this man kind of has clout of his own. Now, there was a point here. If you watch the documentary, you know what we're talking about. Did you see this?
Yeah.
There's a point where They had water coming in for all the attendees. And because they didn't do things right, water is held by customs. And Billy got so desperate. He's like, you know what, Andy, you are a resident gay guy and my mentor, and you said you'd do anything for me. The guy over at customs said that, you know, if you go over there and suck his dick, then he'll release the water.
Right.
And now this is where you think, like, Andy King's going to be like, are you out your fucking mind?
Right.
No.
No.
No. This isn't. Now, this I didn't get this clip from the official source from Netflix, but it does have the testimony from Andy King himself about when that question, that situation was posed to him, what he decided to do.
I said, oh my gosh, I've been taking something for the team every day. He said, well, you're our wonderful gay leader and we need you to go down. Will you suck dick?
Hey, Andy, it's Billy McFarland.
Okay, I didn't know that was
it. What the hell, man? Yeah, why? That Netflix documentary did go, what the fuck?
And yeah, Mars like, one of your videos? I'm sorry.
How many times did you rewatch this?
I don't know where that came from. He said that he would actually think it over.
Yeah, he said he went home and he gargled.
He actually put in mouthwash. Uh-huh. And you know, he
went down there ready to, like, all right,
put on a little lipstick. Put on the high heels and came out and said, hey, you know what? He said that he was ready to do it. He said he was ready to go over there and get it done. Now, fortunately, when he got there, the guy said, man, I didn't want you to do that. But, you know, if you could just pay us.
You're right.
You know, or you can bend over.
Yeah, if you could just make sure we get paid.
Yeah. It was.
All right. Let me get down here, man.
Yeah.
Because nobody's getting paid.
That shows you the power that Billy McFarland had, because now I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know, either things are really that bad, you really like Billy that much, or you just really want to suck a dick, you know?
Some of column A, some of column B.
Or maybe Billy's a Jedi, you know, I don't know. Customs has the dick you're looking for. You know, I don't know, but that shows you that there is something going on with this guy and his power of persuasion, man. So you look and you get confused because some of these people you look at and you say, wow, you must. Yeah, I mean,
his power of persuasion, but it's also that feeling, because this thing was at that point of it's got to happen. It's too big to fail. No one can imagine what life is going to be like if this fails. So he found a way to go, OK, Woodstock almost failed, but it didn't. So if we could just turn this around, we'll be the biggest heroes.
Yeah. And I'd like the way you keep bringing up Woodstock. They do it in both. And I think that's kind of bullshit myself, but I'll get into that in a little bit. It makes you flip on certain things. Like at one moment you think these people are bad, another moment you think these people are gullible, another moment you guess that if so many people are falling for it, this guy to sell something that big, of course you think that they have it. You're not going to scam millions of dollars out of thousands of people. I mean, that, you know, that's criminal activity. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I can see how people buy into it. But I do like the way the documentary just keeps shifting you back and forth, keeping you guessing. They don't hold your hand in it. They let you kind of make the decision. And when you walk away, you still have questions. I mean, some of these things, people might never know what happened with that. And, you know, another thing to do that the Netflix documentary does, they do a great job showing you how this time frame was just impossible. They keep nailing it in that festivals take about a year at least to get done.
A lot of people say 18 months.
Yeah, exactly. This guy was trying to get this done in 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, before Amazon came about, it took 6 to 8 weeks to get a package in the mail.
Right.
And they and people were telling him, they're like, hey, man, you know, if you don't have your stuff together right now, if you really feel like you can pull this together, then fine. But if you don't, you might want to stop now. And he's like, nah, man, believe. You know, just, hey, you know, and whatever we don't have, we'll get through it. You know, the money.
Fake it till you make it.
The money will come in and we'll, and you know, and that'll pay for whatever we have to have.
But this island has no infrastructure.
Yep.
Zero.
Yep.
It's okay. It'll work out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they you know. If anything, they show you how this had no infrastructure, no reasonable time frame, but they managed to sell it on FOMO, That's what everybody says, the fear of missing out on something. Before anything materialized, people just saw pictures and it was said that it was going to be the greatest, it's going to be the best, you can't miss it, and people just joined in.
Well, hey, man, kudos to Fuck Jerry Media who did the whole ad campaign, because that's what sells it. You see all that blue water and models, and they just throw up words saying this is going to be the greatest thing, this is the cultural event you don't want to miss out on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't want to miss out.
It was really cool, too, how they did it. I mean, like, listen.
It looks good.
You know, the funny thing about it is that the Netflix documentary does show you some great marketing, too. Like, you can actually learn from this. They showed you how they got people to stop on scrolling devices, like on Twitter and on Instagram.
Both of them show that.
But they really went in. They said on the Netflix, when they said, this is why they did it this way. They said they had a big burnt orange screen. Mm-hmm. No words on it. Mm-hmm. You see so many words when you're going by that the moment you see a big orange screen and you stop because it catches your eye.
No, they both did that.
Did they?
But both documentaries.
Okay. And fuck me, right?
I'm just saying both documentaries went.
You know,
over
I just thought they went into it. I think they both showed it, but Netflix was the one that actually they went to the marketing company and they said, this is what you do if you want attention from people.
No, they both right did here. That.
All right, well, shit. I guess my career in marketing is fucked up then. I don't work for a marketing agency. You know, one of the things they do show numerous times, though, is how people told them that you shouldn't do this from the very beginning. They were saying, look, I'm telling you right now, stop. This is not going to come together. If you don't have the time to do it, then you're going to fail. I believe it was a financier who told a company not to invest in this. Yeah. I forgot his name. Is his name Calvin Wells?
I think so, but that's in the.
That's in. No, I know that's in the Hulu because yeah. I couldn't find his picture anywhere else. But that's in the Hulu and this. But he pops up in both of them. This guy loves talking shit about.
He does because he kept telling people early on, like, this guy's a scammer. This is not going to work.
So far as creating a Twitter account, telling people like, hey, you know, Fyre Festival fraud.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm putting pictures up telling you this does not exist. This is the reality of what you're seeing versus what's been put up there. And he got threatened with a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it shows you how when people were, and that's the business side of things on how if people were coming in and criticizing, they either were replaced by agencies or they were fired from their jobs or they were just ignored, turned away.
Comcast was going to invest in the whole Fyre app. And he came to them and said, listen, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. Just do this. Just wait until after the Fyre Fest before you invest.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, we'll do that.
And he said, you know, to their credit, they were probably the only people that were listening to me. Yeah, it was it's the festival that people are really wanting to see. You know, because everybody, as they keep saying, everybody wants to see all these people suffering, all these people who they look at as rich, entitled, you know, bratty young millennials. They want to see them suffer. And you do get that. I mean, I think that they both show you the disaster, but I think the Netflix one, and like you might see it better than I do. You know, maybe I missed something, but I think this one showed how it really fell apart. They really delved into the disastrous part of it. You know, in zombie movies where the zombie apocalypse first hits, mm-hmm. and everybody's scrambling for it, you know, mm-hmm. to survive. They quickly showed how everybody got there and had fun. They were trying to make the most of it. And they said, oh, well, we can wait another day. And by the time they got there that night, people were fighting over mattresses. They were fighting over toilet paper. Mm-hmm. People were running into other people's tents and they were like drunk and dazed. And when they show you that, it looks like a horror movie. They show people in the darkness just roaming around. Just, you know, it's
okay,
weird.
The Hulu documentary didn't have that part.
No, they show, you know, they show like shadows just in the street. You didn't even see the person. They show people in the dark with their eyes glowing. It was like, holy shit. You really do think like this is ground zero for like the T-virus or something. You know, it really is. They really delve into the disastrous part of it. After this documentary is done, you know, you are left with the conclusion that the delusion ran so deep with so many people that those who were trying to, because there were plenty of times, there are guys who were at other companies. They talked to one guy who was he worked for festivals. It was his job to manage and put festivals mm-hmm. together. And he kept saying the whole time, he's like, look, we're going to get paid. We're here to honor our contract, but this is not going to work. And the delusion was so big with these people that these small handfuls of folks who were like speaking common sense, how they just got shut out, man.
Yeah, or fired.
Or fired, but just totally ignored. People literally laughed at them. And, you know, like one guy, they had one guy, the guy that was managing the bringing the festival together. It was 24 hours before the festival took place. And he said, listen, there are people getting here. They don't have what you promised. This is falling apart. And he got a message from Billy saying, oh, that's okay. You'll get through this with your great charisma and your yoga teachings.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I don't even fucking do yoga, man. He's like, I just learned that I was a yoga instructor.
Uh-huh.
It was such a thick wall of delusion that nobody could break through to this. It was, by the time they could, it was too late. It's angering. It's angering to see what this guy, Billy McFarlane, has done. You walk away from this mad, from the Netflix documentary. You walk away just so, and because one of the things that they do in the Netflix documentary that they don't do in the Hulu one, the Hulu documentary wants to show more of this from a humorous angle. They definitely do it with more humorous production. This one, it's heartbreaking to see what they do at the end of it, because they left the island and they left businesses in shambles, man. Mm-hmm. They ruined people's lives, livelihood. There was one woman who said, they completely just drained my savings and I have nothing to show for it after this. They showed you
was
just
that a woman who lives on the island and worked on it.
She ran a restaurant and she was serving people when they needed it. She was helping. She was bringing any kind of resource that she could to get these kids by. And at the end of it, they left. She got no reimbursement. Didn't even get an apology. And they showed just I think if there's one thing I really take issue with the Hulu one, they show you a lot, but they don't show you the devastation of the people that they did on the island, man. And you know, I don't know, you can argue for a lot of things. Maybe it's from a poverty area, maybe it's from a race area, but they have remained the least glamorous part of this story. And their stories are hardly heard. So that, you know, you walk away from this pissed, man. Which is why it's the perfect one to watch first.
Right now you are the fucking laughingstock of everything.
Just wait until you see what you're getting yourselves into.
American rapper Ja Rule is in the Bahamas with his business partner.
Billy McFarlane
is an amazing entrepreneur.
He can convince anyone of pretty much anything.
They just bought an island.
Pablo Escobar's island. Oh, my God.